Hi, this is Christopher Sparrow, and this is the iTech Gear Weekly, episode number SE5, made by Google, recorded live, Thursday, October 6th, 2022. As I said, I am Christopher Sparrow, the editor-in-chief over at iTechGear.org, and I am joined this evening by Mr. Joel McLaughlin, former contributing writer over at Gear Diary, and currently the host of the Linux Link Tech Show and Living in the Shade of the 80s Arcade Podcast. Hello, Brother Joel.
Good evening. Good evening. And it's always a favorite day of mine when there's new Google stuff.
Oh, yes. And we did get some stuff today, didn't we? Mm-hmm. So, yes, that KG sort of laugh was from Mr. Chris Cavula, former contributing editor over at Gear Diary and Pocket Now. Hello, Chris.
Hello. And I'm always a fan of new stuff. So, hey, there we go.
There we go. Fabulous, fabulous. And last, but certainly never, ever least, Mr. Larry McJunkin, former co-owner of Wuglet Publications. How are you, Dr. Mr. Larry McJunkin?
I am just fine. But if I was to buy some of this cool new Google stuff, I'd just have to return it.
I know.
Well, that's your MO, man. We expect it.
That's my MO.
Oh, you know, that's true. Right. That's true.
That is true.
I keep my Apple stuff bananas these days. I will live vicariously through you guys on Google from now on. With the exception of day before yesterday, I did order the new wired doorbell, which is listed as new, but they didn't talk about it.
Well,
too far down in the dirt.
Well, today, though, kids, as you know, today is Made by Google Day, right?
Yep.
And today was the day that they announced the whole kit and caboodle. So the they started all off by talking about their whole ecosystem, their Pixel portfolio, right? How everything was designed and made capable by their newest processor, the Google Tensor G2 platform.
Yes.
All right. It is the next generation on-device processor. All right. And everything is designed to work and look like they belong together. It's got a whole unified design language, all right, which I'm certain was making Johnny Ive just turn over in his grave. So, you know, but then, well, you know, not that he's dead or anything, but, you know, I'm just saying.
Well, one thing about Google, I think they've gotten a lot better at their sales pitches. I think if anybody is sitting out there with one foot in one ecosystem and one in Google's, they stand a much better chance today of pulling that person into their own walled garden instead of letting them go to Apple. They're getting really good at this. And every year about this time, I want to dive in. And once in a while I do, but not this year, maybe next year.
No, maybe next year. Okay. Okay. But as I said, you know, everything with this latest round of gadgets and gizmos is designed to be personal. It's got, you know, nice little soft colors and finishes that are unique to Google. All right. As an example, all right. They have a zirconia blasted aluminum case, and you can't get this one on QVC. All right. So
I'm telling you, that's the only place you get zirconia.
Especially if they're cubic zirconias. Yes.
All for the low, low price of any three easy payments or whatever.
Yes.
It is.
Yes. You know, and you know, of course, they're all genuine imitation.
Genuine imitation.
Yes.
That's right.
Absolutely true.
All right. But apparently this coating that they've got on all of their cases is supposed to be soft but durable. All right. And apparently the material adapts to your color and UI choices. So depending on what color gadget you got, you may go ahead and those colors may just blend right in.
So there we go.
Yes. So they talked about how those were going to be all over the Pixel 7 and Pixel 7 Pro. They mentioned in the beginning here about the whole portfolio, how Pixel Watch is designed to be worn every day. All right. And the way that sort of buttermint sort of candy kind of design The bezel disappears, right? I mean, it looks like
that. What they're calling that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if
that's what somebody I know called it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the one that referred to it as a buttermint when you guys
that's
earlier.
That's right. True.
It looks like one of those, you know, Brock's candies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a strap.
A little cinnamon disc.
Or like a Rolaids, right? Like a Rolaids.
Well, it all gives me heartburn, so you're right.
Yes.
I like, we'll get into details, but, you know.
Yeah, we will.
It's a good-looking watch. I'm sorry. I like it.
I agree.
Yeah, it does like it. Yeah, I do.
You know,
yeah.
I'm not sure that I'm completely sold on the looks of this thing, but I will tell you that I really like, and I'm getting ahead of myself in saying this, but I really like the way that their bands attached to the device.
Yes, that looks cool.
So that it is very, very interesting. You are not going to be able to use just any old Android Wear watch band with this. All right, it's going to have to be completely made for Pixel Watch. Otherwise, it's not.
And once again, taking a play out of the Apple playbook.
Yes. Yes. So those things that they twist and sort of lock into place, and it's kind of interesting how that whole thing works. And of course they say that, you know, it's got dozens of customizable watch faces, and they've got colors like hazel and lemongrass, which is kind of a weird kind of yellowish green, right?
And not pretentious.
No, not in any way, shape or form. No. But they're softer hues that are supposed to work together, all right, and are supposed to be easy to read. All right.
See, and this is one of those things with the watch that I'm probably definitely am going to get one. I get up to $350, ironically, the exact price of the Wi-Fi version, which
there
is the one I'm going to get. So they probably won't cover tax, but that's okay, because my company will anything that is fitness oriented or self improvement. They will pay for that.
Which is kind of cool. Some companies are all over that, and it's really nice. Yeah.
So I'm probably would do the polished silver, but the first thing I would do is get a band, because I have a silicone band on my Wise watch. And while my wrist is getting more used to it, but when I first started using it, right around where the watch band was getting really red. So, it's not as bad now. You know, now that I've had it for about almost 2 years now. So I'll probably get that, and I'll probably get one of the metal bands. It looks like they have a Hermes or whatever you call it, like band.
Yeah.
But I definitely will look at the polished silver is my probably the goat one I'm probably going to go with.
Not the they offer that Milanese type stainless?
Oh, Milanese. I did not see one. Well, and
pretty band, at least with the
Apple.
The Milanese woven steel is a very, very nice band. Yeah. I will tell you that.
They may not call it that, but they have one like that.
Oh, do they? Well, good.
Yeah, they look like it in the commercial. They have the woven band, which I probably won't go with.
No, all of the ones they have got right now are either cloth or leather or silk.
Okay. Yeah, all that's right. What it looks like now. It looked like it looked like that in the video that they were showing that they have one. So if I had to pick one now, leather. I mean, that's what I'd probably go with.
Sure.
Not the fabrics, but or the stretch. Oh, the stretch band's kind of nice though, because you don't have to buckle thing, but you just stretch it over your hand. So that's kind of nice. But I'm more in the leather, and I'd probably go with like a gray leather to go with the silver.
They apparently also had some kind of a link bracelet as well that they showed in the commercial or the
movies.
And when I was looking at the watch, they did not have any of those bands in the store at this time. Yeah. All they've got right now are either the fabric bands or the silicone bands or the natural skin bands.
Yeah, actually,
that's it.
The link bracelet you're mentioning is, like, if you go to the main Pixel Watch page, it's in the in the image it says match your style with over 20 bands.
Right. And the, yeah.
That so, is what I would prefer.
Yeah, but, I would. Yeah, me too. Yep. Me too, definitely. But anyway, so moving on, they briefly mentioned the tablet and the nano ceramic coating that it has. Yep. I'm not sure how they sort of did that, but it, again, sort of softens it up. It's that Glacier White was a nice looking Glacier White. It matched yep. their stand very, very well, which we'll get into later on. But then they went ahead and they did this one little pre-recorded gig on software privacy and security,
yep.
Indicating that Google products and mobility products are all secure and private by design. There are multiple layers of verifiable security through their Titan M2. They've got... which provides, I guess, the same level of security as banks and other governments, as an example. Everything is done by design. It minimizes your data footprint. It de-identifies your data. You can restrict access to things. Your health and wellness data is kept on the device and only on the device. And they indicated, and this is something, Joel, that you had mentioned, in some of our pre-show chatter between now and the end of the event, they are offering a free VPN with Pixel 7 and Pixel 7 Pro devices.
Actually, I thought I'd have to go back in the video. I thought it was even on the 6s, which
I didn't get the impression, but yeah.
Well, they indicated that during this particular segment of the event that there were some features that they were going to go ahead and retrofit into previous devices. And yes. this was one of them. So I thought, so it may actually yeah. come down back through the to the Pixel 6 devices. I don't know if it'll hit the Pixel 5s or not, or anything earlier than Pixel 6, but it may.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Android 13 privacy and security settings are all in one place. And they had something new and interesting called action cards. But I you know, they moved along pretty quickly and went right into the phone. All right. And the first thing that they hit on are those Pixel feature drops, the way they're going to retrofit stuff back in to other devices. They're going to go ahead and drop new features for the device every month. All right. And you're going to have 5 years of feature update support built into the Pixel 7 and Pixel 7 Pro. So, which I thought was kind of interesting.
I think it's almost a got to do these days, though.
I agree.
Yep.
I agree. When you're charging $1,000+ for a device, you know?
Yep. Well, and Samsung's doing it. Apple's been doing it without really announcing it as such.
Right.
And Google kind of did it the last time around too, said that
right.
or something similar.
Right.
So I think they just kind of have to. I mean, the game is different than it was a few years ago.
I agree. Yep. I agree. So interesting though that they touted that as a big, huge new feature of the device. So,
I was always under the assumption that that was last year too. But
I thought so too.
Right, yeah. But you also have to understand years. That the whole Me Too thing that these guys did with this, you know, with this ecosystem and sort of redesign of how they put everything together. I mean, Apple Me Too'd a lot of new features into the 14 and 14 Pro series, right? A great example was like the always on screen. It's a first for Apple, all right? But it's been on Android for at least 2 years, if not more.
Oh, yeah.
So they're all coming into parity with each other. All right. Soon.
By the same token, the Apple, the iPhone 6 only is just getting retired now.
Yeah.
So they've been doing the longevity for way longer than anybody else.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You don't get all the features that far back, but you at least get operating system and right. security updates.
Security.
You know,
well, with older hardware, you can only go so far. I mean, it right. is what it is.
Right. Right. But you know, at that point, they kind of got into the meat of the whole thing, which was their new phone, the Pixel 7 and the Pixel 7 Pro. All right. Now, yeah. the Pixel 7, all right, is just a SCOS. It's just a, you know, just a little squeaker of smallerness, if you will, than the Pro. It's a 6.3-inch display, all right, with smaller bezels. It will do an all-day battery, and it will go with extreme battery mode. It will go all the way up to 72 hours.
On paper.
On paper.
On paper.
With extreme yeah. battery mode.
Apples don't even make it outside of paper. We know that.
I know. Mm-hmm. But
nobody that I know of.
Right, but extreme battery mode. I mean, you're basically putting this thing down to absolute bare minimum functionality, which is probably cellular radio or cellular phone calls only at that point.
Yeah.
Probably not. It's probably got data off, Wi-Fi off, and minimal screen brightness at mm-hmm. that point, you know, to last a full 72 hours. So, but, in contrast, the Pro's got a 6.7-inch display, so it's almost a half an inch bigger, but not quite. Nope. All right. It's got a triple camera system. The front camera uses machine language for face unlock. The Tensor G2 chip has 60% faster machine language functionality than the Pixel 6 Pro. All right. It is 20, the device in and of itself is 20% faster than the Pixel 6 Pro. All right. And their voice assistant has kind of stepped up as well. So, I mean, you've got live translate, you can navigate without tapping, you can send messages with your voice. It's got advanced technology to get to get you the right emoji. So you can describe the emoji and it will find it for you and put it in. All right.
I can just see somebody in the airport going, give me a poop.
Yeah.
I can just see that now.
Yeah. Yes. Eat my poop emoji. Thank you.
See, here's one thing I noticed when it's typing out emails to you guys on my, today was that, like us, like trying to use like a word like superior or something. I forget what word it was, but it automatically filled in the emoji, and I'm like, I don't want that. I want that word because I'm not a kid. But
yeah, right,
you know. But
we're not Egyptians doing hieroglyphics either.
No,
that's true. Yeah. That's true. And you can almost have an entire conversation. Real live conversation, not just a 3-year-old having a good time with all the emojis. Excuse me, but
and it's truly frightening. But
3-year-old, try your senior citizen. Holy cow!
Well, they can go, but the point is, you can probably have nowadays with as much emojis as there are out there, you can probably have an entire intelligent conversation with somebody using nothing more than those modern hieroglyphics. So, interesting, though, that they started touting some of the stuff that we've been doing with Apple and Siri for a while, as well as with the Google Assistant. You can send messages with your voice. It's got you can transcribe your voice in real time for messages. So basically, you talk it types. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of sort of what Siri's been doing. And I thought also Google Assistant for a while.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe it's more accurate now. I don't know. All right. I will tell you what is interesting is that their recorder app will transcribe things in real times. And I don't know if it's on this right now or if it's going to be appearing in a future update, but the recorder app will auto transcribe what is being spoken and will recognize different people and give them speaker labels. All right. So it auto speaker separation. So it'll be able to go ahead and transcribe any audio conversation and then label it with whomever you tell it is speaking about. So,
yep. And he talked a little bit about and poked fun about Apple on RCS texting.
They did. They did take a jab at Tim there.
But, well, in so many ways, RCS is still not ready for prime time. It's missing stuff. They really need to.
It is.
And they need to work on it a bit.
But it's one of those things, like in our conversation we had, I said, if Apple would just join the party, RCS could be better that much faster. But
I agree.
But, you know, they're not, they're going to take their ball and go home.
I mean, what are you going to do?
And we said this before. I mean, I would be just as happy if they would just extend iMessage to Android, you know, as long as we, because, but the thing is, I think what's funny is, you know, we get ourselves caught up in that conversation. I mean, and we see that a lot in the press, and we see Google talking about it and Apple going, yeah, whatever. We see that behavior going back and forth. But when you get outside of the US, nobody gives a freaking ass. They don't care. Yeah.
No,
nobody's using
true.
Either of those things. They're all using Telegraph. They're all using different services. They're not even on any of these services. They don't care.
That's true. That's true. All right. Well, you know, but let me just say this, moving on to some phone call features. They've got a call assist, which I'm assuming is going to be a lot like, you know, hey,
huge fan of that.
Hey, assistant, call so-and-so. Right. On mobile, on speaker. All right.
And that's all a holdover. I mean, a pull in from their old Google Voice. And it works well. Yeah. It's good stuff, really.
I do that in Siri in the car, too. So,
I mean, the one big difference was just like if you're calling, like, say you're calling an 800 number and you're dealing with the voice prompts. Okay. Well,
this was really cool.
Pixel 7. Before they even say the menu, you have the menu right in front of you.
Yes, and it automatically receives the dialer information. And
they already do it now, but not that fast on the Pixel 6 Pro.
I would imagine they only do it if the contact center in question sends it.
Yes.
Possibly. Or maybe they recorded it from prior phone calls. So that might be something too.
Because it's not going to know from the audio message until it hears the whole audio message.
It's not going to know. That's metadata coming across that call.
Right.
It's got to learn it somehow first.
Right.
From somewhere.
Right.
And if it's not being broadcast by the call center, yeah, they've got to memorize it somehow.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I'm assuming that's metadata that's coming across.
And I suspect it's going to be hit or miss until it gets more popular.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would agree.
So that was kind of cool though.
Yeah,
being able to, and then you can go ahead and tap those options at any time during the call. You don't have to wait for them to be announced.
Yep.
And you can just, you know, dance your way through the dialer, which I think is really cool.
Oh, well, there we go.
Because I really hate having to do the vocal prompts because you know
like talking to Siri.
I'm screaming at the phone saying agent, you know. And they're all about, yes, we'll get you right over to Orange just now, you know.
Yeah. As soon as you answer one more dumb question.
Yeah.
If you would just learn to speak correctly, you wouldn't have this problem. But, you know.
Well, thank you.
And the call screen stuff is great. I already use it on the Pixel 6.
Yeah.
Pro.
No, I love that. I really did love that.
Yep. That is the best thing. Although I will tell you the spammers get really confused with it.
They usually
don't say anything, and then they hang up. But I'm like, okay, I didn't want to talk to you anyway.
Well, the funny thing is they have to. They're not allowed to just leave you messages.
Right.
So I get that even with just basic, you know, the carrier level call screening. All the phones have calls, kind of, I call it call screening, but where it tells you, gee, this is a spam risk. Gee,
right.
Whatever.
Right. Yeah, those are separate apps though. This appears to be.
It's part of the phone app. No, it's not a separate app.
This one's part of the phone app.
You can have separate apps like Truecaller and stuff, but it doesn't have to be.
Verizon's got their own spamming, and I thought T-Mobile did as well. Their own spam.
They do. But I don't have it, and I don't have any other apps. And when I get a minus says spam likely, and that's what Chris was talking about.
I get that all the time.
You get that sometimes. Sometimes it's from the carrier.
Sometimes it says telemarketer. Sometimes it says spam likely.
Right.
Yeah. So those have been in place for a long time. That's not I'm not going to call it a new thing, but it's new in the last few years. But they're all doing it now, and everybody's doing it at different levels. So you don't really know who's telling you what it is. Mm-hmm. You don't know whether it's an app telling you or whether it's the carrier telling you. But it's coming in as part of the caller ID train. That's where you're getting that info.
Right. The other thing or another thing that they were doing with the Pixel 7 Pro was clear calling, which is active noise suppression for background noises and filters. It actually enhances it'll dim the background, bad background noise, and enhance the caller's voice so you can hear what's going on instead of sticking your finger or half of your arm down to your elbow. Inside your ear going, what? I can't hear you.
Did we have that on the 6? I could have sworn we had that on the 6.
I don't recall it.
Clear calling?
Okay.
Don't remember it.
I don't know, but I've never had a problem with hearing my... I've never Me had neither. A problem hearing calls what? Anyway, but yeah.
What?
So, yeah.
What?
Ha, ha,
what?
Ha. What?
Thank you.
Yes.
So... But then they got into some really cool features here with probably the one thing that everybody, I think, was the most interested in and interested to hear, and probably the number one reason why anybody ever upgrades their phone. The camera. Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's not a good.
Yeah. They've got some really interesting diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging sort of features built into this. They have an inclusivity feature, which will go ahead and apply the same level of skin tone improvements, regardless of skin color, all right, or skin tones, to every picture that you take, regardless of subject.
What's interesting is they should have been doing it all along.
Well, every camera should.
Here's what I'm getting at. If you were gonna correct skin tones, you should have been doing it for all kinds of skin tones all along.
Yeah.
You know, if you were gonna do it to begin with, you should have done it all the way. But nobody did. I mean, they're all guilty of it.
Yeah.
You know, they're all guilty of it. So it's nice to see it finally coming. You know.
Yes.
I mean, Apple's been saying that for a while too.
Yes.
Now it's nice to see Google saying it. I'm happy with it.
It's a feature on the Pixel 6 Pro, but it's just better on the 7.
Yeah. I agree. And I think we're going to continue. They've taken it up a notch.
Right.
We're going to see that continue.
Yeah. Right. And this is all part of the machine language improvements that they've got.
Yeah.
It's all part of the AI stuff that they've got going on and the new processor, right? I mean, this is it's really what the new processor is really there for.
Yep.
All right. Part of this inclusivity, though, which I thought was really kind of cool for those customers that are somewhat vision impaired. All right.
Yep.
They've got guided frame, which will help vision impaired people take better selfies or better pictures, period. All right.
Wow.
It will go sense what you've got and tell you, you know, move it up, move it left, move it right, move it down, or whatever, you know, move it up
and do the hokey pokey.
Little bit.
Come on.
Right. you know, until you can go ahead and look at it and go, hey, quit kvetching and take the picture already, you know?
Take the picture.
Right. So, but the whole idea here is that with guided frame, it will go ahead and give that sight impaired individual the best opportunity to take a photo. So that, you know, they can go ahead and share their memories, right, with the people that they've that they've got with them, which I think is really kind of cool.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. All right. So guided frame is kind of cool. All right. This other piece, and I was waiting for this. I was waiting for this, and I've been waiting. This is something that's going to have to happen on every device, regardless of manufacturer, regardless of carrier, regardless of whatever. Their photo unblur, I thought, was amazing. It's all machine language sort of image quality improvement driven, right? It auto fixes blurry images. Thank God. You know,
yeah, we'll see how well that actually works in the wild.
Yeah,
but sure looked good in the demo. Sure but I got to tell you, some of these auto correcting features that we've been presented with in the last few years haven't worked that great in the real world for me.
No,
they're okay.
Who we're talking sometimes. About. I mean, come on, you know.
Right. Yeah. So
like the eraser one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Very mixed results with that, and I have a feeling this is going to be similar. But if it can even do it some of the time, wow!
Yes,
you know,
For those few pictures that you really wish, this was such a good picture. I really wish this thing wasn't blurry. Ta-da! And there you go.
That's so cool. Yeah.
You know,
or if it fixes part of it, even just a little bit.
If it makes it just a little bit better, even if it just makes it a little bit better. And I noticed in their demo, it didn't sharpen every picture to the nth degree that some of the others were sharpened to, right? Again, it can only work with what it has, right?
Well, my understanding is it's, you know, you're able to take it, even not even with pictures you just took with the camera, you're able to import old pictures that you have and apply this to that. You
know, because it has nothing to do with the camera in and of itself. It's
right, exactly.
The machine learning on the device. All right.
Yep.
It's the device, not the photo. It's the processor, not the camera, right? So it will do it to all of those other pictures that you screwed up in earlier years. You can now come back and still be the hero of your 25th high school reunion or whatever it is.
Yeah. Remember Christmas 2015 when I screwed up that picture with everybody in front of the tree? Well, here we go.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and y'all, you've been giving me shit for it ever since. Well, here, sit on it, Potsy.
Nice.
So there you go.
Was Uncle Joe giving the finger in that shot? Oh my gosh.
The video stuff. Yeah,
don't unblur that part. Don't unblur that part. Right.
The video stuff looked really impressive too.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Tell me about it, Joel.
Let's see, they added you can do a cinematic blur, kind of like I think Apple does something like that.
Yeah, that's that bokeh effect that you see in stills, and now it can be done
in video.
Yep. Right.
10-bit HDR video, nice. Which, it's all right. But the stabilization was the most impressive, I thought.
Active stabilization.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen next? Now we're going to get all the comparisons between the iPhone 14 Pro's stabilization
and
this stabilization. Everybody's going to start doing these comparison videos on YouTube now.
Yes, which is okay, at least
for now. I think it's great.
Which is okay, at least for now, because there have been a lot of, I mean, Samsung is doing it. Apple is doing it. Now Google is doing it. I'm waiting for the roundup. I'm waiting for the camera roundup that comes around and says, all right, who's got the best camera?
But what I find fascinating about that? Because there's been a lot of lately with compared the Pixel 6 Pro to the Samsung S22 compared to the Samsung Z Fold and now the iPhone 14. There's a lot of those comparisons have been out there, and the results are never consistent. In other words, one of them actually wins in every category.
Correct.
And they all seem to do better. So what am I supposed to do? Carry three or four devices now in order to get
the best overall experience?
I mean,
yes. Well, my Scotty Vest already drags on the ground because of that. Thank you very much for allowing me to carry one more.
Well, then you got devices like you have the GoPros that does that too. I have a DJI Pocket 2 that has some of that with it too. Well, not to mention the fact it's on a freaking gimbal, so it doesn't have a lot of the stabilization issues. So, you know, that's great. And the improved autofocus and the speech enhancement looked pretty cool too.
Yeah. On 4K 60 frame per second video, which is kind of cool.
Yes. Yeah. But not that I shoot a lot of that, because I don't.
But the point is, they're all leapfrogging, and it's
yes.
I think in this day and age, right now, if you buy almost anybody's premium phone,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna do okay.
Yeah,
you're gonna have a decent camera. Mm-hmm. You know,
yes,
as compared to a few years ago, especially yep. in low light crap. The stuff we can do now with low light that we never yep. used to be able to do well.
Yep. Oh yeah,
I mean that's astounding. Yeah.
Like yes. if I don't know if you guys seen the picture I took when I was on a walk with my Pixel 6 Pro earlier this week in the evening, like Monday evening.
Yeah, I saw
did see that. I did see that.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that was done with my Pixel 6 Pro, and it was dark out, but it's well, beautiful.
Well, the so. Interesting is my only complaint, yeah. and I ran into this before with these low light things getting so much better, mm-hmm. is the picture almost looks like it's daytime, and I don't necessarily want it to look like it's daytime. It's That's almost true. Too much.
That's true.
True. I've but, seen that
but
too.
See where it's coming from though, versus what
I
they
mean,
give.
It's beautiful
you.
And clear. They're beautiful and clear, but it's like. Could we like make it look a little more natural to what it really looked like?
Well, yes. See, that's what you. It's like people like. It's funny. Like, I took pictures with my Sony in just a little bit different location. They're like, "What different? What did you do differently?" I'm like, "Well, I was a whole lot closer than I usually was, but mm-hmm. but you know, I yeah. am the kind of person, even on my phone, no matter what." I always tweak the image every single time. That image was tweaked to through Google Photos, the auto enhancement. That's really the only thing I did with that picture, you know. But you can also see how crappy it is on that same post where I posted another picture elsewhere on my hike where it was a lot more darker, but it looked like it was daylight.
And these things are, like I said, it's fascinating. It's amazing what they can do. But we're almost getting to the point where I think they're doing too much.
Sometimes I want to see what
Samsung's
it really was
known for
like.
Oversaturating. You know, Samsung right. oversaturates the pictures, and right. people like it, but yep. it's not very natural feeling. You know,
but
and,
it's to the right. point now. Depending on what I'm doing and where I'm at, like I went to the Columbus Coffee Festival a few weeks ago. I could have took my Sony. I didn't. Mm-hmm. The only thing I took with me was my Pixel 6. I didn't take too many pictures because,
right,
mostly too jittery from drinking so much caffeine. But it was awesome, you know. So, you know, so it's, you know, but it's. I didn't really need to take the good camera with me, and you know, like if it's a family event like Christmas time, I will have my Sony with me, and I will mm-hmm. probably be using that on Christmas Day when we're. Open doing the yeah. annual exchanging of the gift cards because that's kind of what we do now, but
that's where we all are now.
Yeah. But like the phone cameras are just in a different world now than they were just a few years ago. And I like mm-hmm. the pricing on these devices as well, starting at $599 for the 7 and $899 for the Pixel 7 Pro.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. So, it's yes. a great price.
But yes. I also went to the store too, in both Verizon, direct through Verizon and direct mm-hmm. through the Google store. There is no 512 gigabyte for some reason on Verizon. I don't know why, but and it's similar with the other carriers too. There's one or two that are missing from them. Not exactly sure why.
It might not just have them yet. It might be too early.
Yeah, I was just going to say, maybe a supply chain thing.
It could
thing.
Be. Yeah, it could
maybe
be.
Maybe a supply chain
still,
thing. Or they just haven't gotten
right?
into the system. Right.
Yeah, it's still
right.
pre-order. Ship
it's
next
still
week.
Pre-order. They will be available next week on the 13th or 14th.
Yeah.
All right. So, which is next Thursday or Friday. So, but it, you know, for what this device can do, starting at $599 for the Pixel 7, I think the Pixel 7 at $599 is a better value. And yes. I know you guys are going to crucify me for this, but the Pixel 7 at $599 is a better value than the iPhone.
It is. I don't
disagree with that. You know, if you want all the pro features, like for example, if I were buying one this year, it would be the 7 Pro. I'm not, mm-hmm. but That's the one I would buy. So
right. No, I totally get that. I totally get, but I do think that the baseline Pixel 7 is better, is a better value than the 14 Pro. Or the 14, rather.
I don't think the 14 Pro, but I do agree with the 14.
Right, no, the 14. I meant to say 14. So the Pros, I think are comparable. All right.
Actually, hold on a second. The 512 gig is available for Verizon.
But not AT&T.
Not direct not AT&T. To Verizon. Yes, right. That's correct.
Right.
But why would you buy that? Why wouldn't you just buy the unlocked one?
Well, it's the black one, too. So it's only the black color. If you switch to like the snow color and go to 512, it's not available on Verizon or AT&T. It's only available on Google Fi. All right.
Gotcha.
So they're kind of playing games with the carriers a little bit.
Well,
I don't think it's entirely supply chain, but it's probably part of it.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I do think that there's some of that's there. I think you're right, but I don't think it's the entire story. I just don't know what it is yet. But not bad. Available in store next week. Available for pre-order now. Delivers next week. End of next week. $599 to start and $899 for the Pro. So not too bad. Then they brought out what I considered to be the piece de resistance of the actual show. But this is just because I'm a watch nut. All right.
Yes.
I am a watch junkie. All right. For those of you that don't
know.
I am a watch junkie.
You?
Me. All right. The nice thing I think about what they did with Pixel Watch, all right, aside from the whole Buttermint sort of case look, right, is that it is the first Wear OS device with Fitbit features built in.
Yep.
All right. Now, I do not know if that will be the case with Wear OS 3.x or 4.x, right? If they'll do the that'll flow through to other device manufacturers. But at least with their watch, the Pixel Watch will have Fitbit built in. All right.
Yep.
Which I think is kind of cool. So all the health-based features are powered by Fitbit.
It raises an important question here, though. With their partnership with Fitbit, since they now own Fitbit, what becomes of Google Fit? Because I've always liked Google Fit better than Fitbit, to be brutally honest. But I can live with Fitbit.
I will tell you, I think that there's going to be a rebranding of Fitbit, unless there were some contractual agreements that were made when they closed the deal.
Right.
They may keep the brand name. They may not. All right.
Right.
It may just be that there is a, you know, same data, different front end. I don't know.
Right.
All right.
But the great thing is you get 6 months of Fitbit Premium.
Yep.
And 3 months of YouTube Music Premium. Now that's,
you do.
That one's useless to me, mostly because, I already have YouTube Premium, and that means I get YouTube Music Premium too.
Right.
And I do use it. So, you know, but, the Fitbit Premium is probably the more important of the two for me.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
And I'm definitely going to be picking one up.
Right. But all the health features, again, powered by Fitbit.
Yep.
It does sport a true 24-hour battery life, even, they say, with all of the health features active. All right. We'll see. Seriously, we'll see. There is a concentration on heart rate tracking.
Yep.
With this particular device. So those of us with newly undiscovered cardiac issues may find some value in this particular gadget. All right. Because with the Fitbit Pro, I mean, it will actively go ahead and it has something that they called active zone minutes, which tracks your heart rate at a target that you set and counts how many times your heart rate actually got into that zone, into that range. All right. So that when you're doing, you know, your stress tests or your cardiac therapy, you can keep track of how often you reach that desired goal range. All right. Yep. Which I think is kind of cool. All right. So those that are really trying to monitor their heart health. All right.
Yep.
Can go ahead and do that. Fitbit Pro has more than 1,000 different kinds of workouts. All right. And you can go ahead and actually do all of your sleep tracking in Fitbit Pro right from your Pixel Watch, which I thought is kind of cool. And again, I don't know, Joel, if you hit this yet, but the GPS version is $349. The LTE or cellular version is $399, which is not bad. And you can, again, pre-order those today. And they're available next week.
Yeah, the $349 is technically, I'm guessing they both have GPSs, but it's Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. Sure.
Yes.
Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. The other one is the LTE.
Yes.
Yeah, the other one has the LTE and the Bluetooth and the Wi-Fi. So,
right.
And you've already heard me say this, but my concern is that they used a much older processor.
They did.
And I think it's a little overpriced for using that older processor. But, you know, I think it's a very good-looking watch. I think the features are fine. I don't really care about the Fitbit stuff that much. To me, that's not that different than anybody else's health monitoring anymore. It was, but it's not anymore. And it's okay. But
you're going back to 2015, back to the 2015 time frame when Apple Watch first came out, when the smartwatch craze first came out, and Fitbit was the king of the world.
They were.
It was,
but everybody's kind of caught up these days. I think everybody's mostly caught up these days. So,
they've definitely, the rest of the world has definitely worked, I think, very hard to get to a point of feature parity. With Fitbit. All right. Fitbit, though, I have a feeling is still going to be the.
Well, they've got the name.
They have the name.
My wife knows what Fitbit is. You know, that's the thing. I can tell you from my experience with the Fitbit devices I've had. Now, it looks like just going on their Google's website and seeing the other Fitbit devices, they've kind of gone a little away from the designs that the ones I've had is thankfully because I had two of the high-end Fitbits where the band was integrated completely into the watch and I can't replace it and the band blew
so
it's like at least that's not going to happen with the Pixel Watch.
You'll be able to change those bands out pretty easily,
and immediately do that too because I don't like silicon bands, but
you know what I actually missed was, and it wasn't out but a few years, was I missed the Microsoft band. I actually liked that band.
The only problem that I had features for me, the Microsoft band was a really interesting device. I think it was yet another device that was before its time.
I think it was
The problem with Microsoft band is that it was a completely stiff and rigid device from end to end. All right.
But I wore it more as a bracelet than anything. I mean, that's how I treated it.
They did some really decent sleep tracking on Microsoft Band.
Yeah.
And the problem with it is that depending on how you slept, all right, that device on your wrist could get cockeyed and you wake up in the middle of the night because your hand is numb. All right, because it's cutting off your circulation, you know, or it hurts because it's, you know, whatever. It was really, really stiff. But I will say that for 20, it was the gift to purchase and give and get in 2015.
Yeah.
All right.
I think this Pixel Watch looks really, really nice, but I think it's a little underwhelming in some ways from a mechanical standpoint to me.
Yep.
Again, I don't like that they used an older processor, because I think it helps. You're not as future proofed, and they don't guarantee 5 years of updates to this. I didn't see anything that said that. I could be wrong, but I didn't see anything that said they were going to update this thing.
They didn't touch on it.
And so that being said, you know, I get it, but it kind of is like, well, couldn't you have used like something in your tensor range or, you know, just to give yourself a little future proofing? Because I think this market is changing a lot very, very, very quickly. And they've got nowhere to go now.
Yeah.
They are not very far they can go. And that's a little disappointing. But I do think it's an awesome looking watch. And maybe that was the compromise. Maybe you had to use that older one in order to fit the product.
They'll put a tensor in it next year.
I'd like to see a pro next year. And I think, Joel, I think we were talking about that earlier.
Yes.
Bumped up the game a little bit.
Yeah, right. I think that's what their plan is. Because I'm going to be brutally honest here. I've tried several Wear OS watches over the time. Had the original Moto 360, mm-hmm. which was Android Wear or whatever it was called back then.
Yeah, whatever it was called back then,
With the flat tire, which I didn't really mind the flat tire. But I had a Pit Michael Kors watch, which from the construction of it is fantastic. It has a metal bracelet on it. Mm-hmm. A little pretentious gold, but that's the only color I can get. But a year and a half in, the performance of it was pretty lousy. And I think part of that comes from Android Wear or Wear OS started to suffer from the same thing that Android did. And that's the manufacturer bloat. That Android used to have a real problem with. Not so much anymore. Samsung devices are fairly great. I've had notes over the years, and I like them. Last time I didn't go with whatever the S22 or the S21, whatever the note replacement was in the last cycle. I just didn't like it. I wanted a Pixel because the Pixel 6 Pro came out last year. I was just like, oh yeah. because it's a great phone. Still, mm-hmm. it's a great phone. So if you have a Pixel 6 Pro, I don't think the 7 is necessarily a gotta have an upgrade, unless you're Christopher Sparrow. So the Pixel 6 is gonna last me. I will wait till the 8 for that.
I do think there's a lot of people that will want to go to the 7 just because of the camera stuff. I think there's enough people that'll do that. Because they don't carry another camera like you do, Joel. You know, this is their camera. So I can see that. I get that. I'm not going to be one of those people in this case, but I get it. I get the appeal.
Yep. It's interesting. So we'll see. We'll see. How that all shakes out. I'm really excited about next year with the tablet. We don't know a whole lot about it yet, but I will say that it's brilliant having the speaker dock, because that's going to basically make it, when it's on the dock, just like a Google Nest Hub or whatever you want to call it.
That's
them
actually
now.
Almost a deal breaker for me. But
So it's sort of like a Google Show, right?
I don't want that. I don't want a listening speaker in my house. I'm hoping they release
Siri laughed, Google Assistant laughed. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I don't want any of those.
Yes. Well, the thing is, and I get that, Chris. I really do.
Yeah. I would like them to release the tablet without one, without that, or without, I'm or maybe sure. just well, a speaker.
Or a keyboard.
Yeah, there you go. And I know you can disable that stuff. I don't want to be, I'm not an idiot. I mean, we can disable that stuff.
Right.
But I just don't like the idea of it being there, because even when you disable it, how do you know? I know. How's that for paranoia? Well,
actually, right, you know, right no, actually, actually, you know, it's actually they not, talked about that during the event. The voice stuff all remains on your local device. It doesn't leave your network until it has to.
Until Google pushes the retrieve data button. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, they also so like weren't tracking saying, us on maps either.
Right.
They did.
Well, it processes the voice like it says, if you say okay, G, which I gotta be careful because I got one of those in my room.
Uh-huh.
in fact, I had the stream on my big TV in my office, and I didn't have the I have the Roku, which I can turn it to private listening, so it goes through my phone's earbuds. All right, but I didn't have that turned on, and they said the magic word in my little Okay,
geez. I was reading follow-ups today after the event, and a lot of people were complaining that Google did not blank those things out, and everybody's devices were going off right and
left. At the very beginning, it did. Yes.
And so people were complaining.
But but that processing, it's like when if I say, okay, G, play so-and-so on YouTube Music, the only time it will go out to the network is when it needs to make that connection to pull that track from YouTube Music. So
as you've said before, though, we're assuming that's all it's doing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We don't know that about any of these guys, right?
You do not know.
Right. Yeah, well, even Apple. I'll say even Apple.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I think we don't know about any of these guys. You know, just because they say they're not doing this or say they're only doing it then, are they really? I don't know. I can't prove it one way or another.
I want to know things I want to know about the tablet before I buy it. It says the G2. We'll see. But at least that's what Chris has in the notes.
Yeah, no. Well, that's what I heard because I was taking notes as I went through. So the G2 is supposed to be on the tablet, right?
How big and what resolution is what I want to know.
I have no idea. They didn't touch on any dimensions or specs other than G2 powers the tablet.
Right. Is there a 7, and then is there like a 10 or 11?
You mean G2 or T2?
It would be Tensor G2.
Yeah.
Oh, the Tensor G2. Okay, got it.
So the Tensor G2 is the chip running it, supposedly. Right. So, that actually tells me
this
that
is
it's
not
gonna be a
liquid metal kind of Android that will go ahead and kill you.
I'm going to want to know which of the phone 7 features get carried over. I'm going to be very curious of that.
Yes.
That'll be interesting to see which of your favorite features from the Pixel 7 will.
And show us a lot of the tablet interface other than the fact that it looks like they took the Pixel 6 Material U and spread it out some, which looks fantastic to me.
Yeah, basically they look like they stuck your Pixel 7 on an ironing board, grabbed a hot iron and ironed it out, you know, and made it bigger.
Yes. But I'll be interested in seeing if they bring out specific categories for tablet driven apps, because in the past Android never really had a differentiation.
Right.
And it then generally did okay, especially with the in-house apps, like blowing up like Google Calendar stuff. You really, really worked well on the older tablets. But certain apps just never did. And I, as much as it pains me to say,
and still don't,
I liked the scaling that they did a little better until I tried my iPad, and then I realized what they did with doubling the phone interface on the iPad.
Right.
I don't like iPhone apps on my iPad, but they're usable. And that's
they
it.
Are.
You know, they are. You know, ultimately, and that and doesn't happen on Android.
Right. So the one difference between iPad and iPhone is that there are specifically apps that are tuned better now.
Correct.
For the iPad versus the iPhone.
The other thing that doesn't happen, that happens too often on Android, is because of the variety of devices and because of the fact that the Android OS and application developers didn't do a good job, what you'll get is not only does it not scale up the way you want it to, it'll often chop off sides and edges and tops and bottoms.
It does a terrible job
of that sometimes. Right. When it's bad, it's really bad.
Right. Good apps on Android on a tablet are excellent on a tablet.
Right.
You know, they're fine. But bad apps.
Bad app. Right. Good apps are great. I've had a great experience with the Google apps and how they scale. I've had a good experience with the Microsoft apps.
Yes.
How they scale.
Yes.
But once I get past those two categories, it just starts to become real hit or miss on different things.
Yep. I agree. I agree. Past the productivity threshold,
the biggies, past the biggies.
Yes, past the biggies. You know, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see with the tablet. But I will tell you what I think.
It's getting better. I want to say that. I think it is,
but we'll have to wait and see because I haven't seen anything on any real Android tablet, all right, that I find as compelling, all right, as the iPad, you know, versus the iPhone. Mm-hmm. All right, now that may be just because I'm stuck in the walled garden a little bit too much, but I'm just saying,
it is a better integration. Yeah, and we'll have compatibility.
We will have to wait and see. Joel, we're going to count on you to really take a look at this tablet and see and see if it is worth worth the get or if it's really just, you know, the Jai phone, if you will.
We'll see if we'll have to see if I keep it, cuz what it might I may end up pulling a Larry on it.
Right.
And if I don't like it, take it back and get an upgraded iPad Air.
Right. What I'm really concerned with is you're really in the end just going to want to put a big huge gold chain on this thing and start singing Flava Flav songs because it's just a giant clock. Is really all that it is. So we'll have to wait and see. But it's coming in probably, I would think.
Sometime next year.
Q1 of next year, I would think. They just said it's coming in 2023. They didn't say when. All right.
It's gonna sit in the kitchen showing grandma's pictures.
right on that smart charging speaker dock, which is supposed to be a nice little thing. The one thing that I do want to point out about the dock is that the magnet that is on this thing is supposed to be tuned on the dock so that it's easy to dock and undock the device easily without you lifting the speaker when you try to pull the thing off.
Right.
All right. It'll hold it firmly and hold it securely while it's on there. But yet when you go ahead and you grab this thing, hopefully there's some sort of a electric current break there that'll go ahead and tone that magnet down and you'll be able to lift it easily off the dock. We'll have to wait and see. Cause what I don't want to have happen is I don't want to, you know, thumb wrestle the damn dock for possession of the tablet.
Because I've got to go out.
Right. And I want to take the tablet with me.
Yeah. But they're saying it's it'll just pick it right up. And, so we'll see how that works.
Yep.
We're going to see.
Right.
It has to be tuned differently for the speaker dock than it would be for a keyboard. But anyway.
So the last thing that they really kind of touched on, with the tablet, they talked about fast pair, which is effectively continuity. It's a continuity like feature, but Google based as opposed to Apple based. Log in to your Wi-Fi network on your phone. It automatically shows up on your tablet. All right. Pair your Pixel Buds.
You kind of have that on Apple already too.
Right.
Right.
So. Pixel Buds on your tablet. It automatically shows up on your phone and your watch, right?
Well, again, this gets all of them having feature parity, right? And all these competitors,
right?
You know, pulling each other's features,
right?
That's why I just say bring it.
Right. Yep. So
I agree.
That's
the consumer wins,
right?
I think so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think.
But I will say this that the one thing that kind of irritated me really I'll say about both announcements is that technically, like, Apple made a really big deal about the crash detection, but Google had it too.
Right.
They just didn't make as big a deal about it. So
until now. Yeah. Until now.
Right. Until now. Right. Right.
Until now when they maybe.
So
maybe,
it's like.
Well, because of nothing else, they saw that Apple was successful bringing that up as a thing.
Right.
And maybe the same thing.
Tuning or whatever, but now they've got it together. You know?
It's like on the phone, on the Pixel 7, you know, it basically has almost the identical screen to the new iPhones.
Sure.
You know, and Apple's like, it's the most advanced screen ever. Is it really? You know, until the next phone comes out.
Right.
I'm sorry, but I still think down the executive corridor out in California at Amphitheater Park, the most said saying of any week is, damn, why didn't we think of that?
Yeah.
They're always behind. Google is always behind. I'm sorry.
Slightly.
That's not entirely true because Apple had
most of the time it is.
Agreed. But Apple will sit on something until they can go ahead and quote unquote perfect it.
Right. Oh, I don't mean just against Apple. I meant for other people too. I mean, Samsung.
I guess my reaction is that Google throws a lot of things against the wall. So does Samsung for that matter. But what they don't do is do a good job of implementation sometimes. So the thing is there, but nobody quite knows what to do with it or how to use it. So half those things end up withering on the vine and dying.
It's like face detection.
I don't know.
Face detection was on Google devices first. It was on the Nexus 6.
But not nearly as good as it was. It was what Apple did. Yes. It's not as good as
it's secure. It's never worked perfectly, though, on any Google device. Never.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see if the face. Actually, I'm going to be really honest. I don't give a crap about face detection. Give me a thumbprint. Thank you. Because I don't.
You'll notice Apple still doesn't have under the screen Touch ID.
They probably won't.
I know for a fact that those devices, those prototypes are running around the mothership right now.
But the one thing I will say, and I kind of want to sort of sum up some of this stuff, is that it's never been easier, despite some of the challenges, it's never been easier to shift between the two platforms, the two big platforms, and have some feature parity. You might lose content because content doesn't always shift, right? Or things like that. But you can almost always find pretty close to feature parity these days. And that hasn't been true in the past.
Yep. But it's like the only thing, and I think and Larry can bring his thoughts on, the only thing that I see on the Apple devices is if you're fully into the iPhoto life, that could be a mistake.
Sure.
You're better off using Google Photos, which, by the way, works on the iPhone great.
I agree. Yeah. Google does photos phenomenally. They really do. They always have.
I never did like the iPhoto interface on the phone. I don't use it on my work phone because I do every once in a while use it to take a picture. Not very often, but the Google one, that's the one nicer thing is if you were in the Google camp and were going back to the Apple camp, you can take your Google Photo library right with you.
I moved back and forth so easily with that, Joel. It's no problem at all. In fact, I still keep a carbon copy on Google Photos.
And it's like
I do some editing up there.
So the the walls are taller on the Apple Garden than they are on the Google Garden.
I
think they have some.
By the same token, I've told you, I absolutely despise the music management on any of the Google apps. They're awful. I think YouTube horrible. Music sucks.
Awful.
Apple Music, however, runs very well on both Apple and on Google.
Think I'm using? And what do you think I'm using on all the Android devices I've got?
All of my speakers in the house right now are, in fact, Google products. And I use Apple. Apple Music is playing on them right now.
Yep.
I'll say this, if you go with best of breed for each of those little kind of features, then you're not going to be completely tied into either garden.
That's probably true. Yeah. I think that's true.
Like Smart Home is another example. Google works wonderfully there, and Apple lets it play. I mean, they're together.
Mm-hmm. So,
it's interesting. So, interesting times we live in, guys.
I think
it
so.
Is. And they're getting more and more.
And then we do have a Microsoft event coming.
We do.
Nobody wants to buy anything, though.
Well, in the Microsoft event, I probably won't, unless they bring out something small. Because I'm not ready. My laptop, I just got last November, so I'm not really ready for another laptop. Although, tomorrow, if I get the right email from IT, maybe the day Joel orders his MacBook Pro for his work.
There you go.
I am very anxious in the Microsoft thing. There's two things I'm interested in seeing if they do. One is I'm interested in seeing what that Surface Pro X That's going to be really called the Surface Pro 9. I'm curious to see, because I really want to know what the numbers on it are going to look like, because if the performance gets up into the i5 range, you're talking about something now.
Yes, you are.
So
yes,
I'm very interested with the battery because saving. That'll have LTE. It'll have 5G or LTE or whatever on it, and battery saving, and that to me will become a very potentially interesting portable, you know, tote with you kind of device potentially. Right. That's one thing I'm interested in. The other thing is, and it keeps going back and forth in the rumor mill, and it's just rumor mill. We knew that they weren't going to release a Surface Duo 3 this year, but they might talk about it.
Yes.
And I'm curious to see if they do.
And a new Surface Studio.
A new Surface Studio. Yep.
I'm hoping that it actually has blow you away hardware, because I'll say this, they really haven't. They've always
the price point will certainly blow you away.
That's the only thing. You know,
aren't they going to do a new laptop too? Surface laptop?
Yeah, probably.
That's the rumor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. I don't know. I know that for my work, actual day to day work life, it's going to be Mac. So, that's no question. I don't think I'm the only one that's going to be switching to it either.
Sure.
Half my engineering team uses it just because of the Unix command line. So,
I've been wanting to switch, but my company didn't.
Yeah. We'll see what happens when Microsoft brings it out. When is that event?
12th.
Microsoft event?
Next week. 12th.
Is it next week?
Cool.
Yeah,
I have not seen any leaks. They've done a good job.
They've done a really good job, and I think it is in no small part to the fact that Samsung, Apple, and now Google have all had their events, and everybody's been kind of distracted, at least to some extent. Right,
you know.
To some extent. So we'll have to wait and see how that goes. I do want to go ahead though before we wrap up. I do want to mention a couple of things here. Are now handled a little bit better with the Tensor G2 processor on the Pixel 7 and the Pixel 7 Pro. Screencasting and video sharing is supposed to be a little bit easier and a little bit more fluid on the new devices. The watch now also acts as a remote control for your camera. All right. Nice. And the voice assistant is supposed to work across all your devices. Every device is a control panel for all of your Google Home based devices. So you can control your home on every device that you have, whether that's your watch, your phone, your tablet, or whatever. All right.
Sweet.
So it all now works together. All right. Yep. Or at least it's supposed to. But that, kids, is the Made by Google event.
Yep.
So we'll have to wait and see what
Sends your donations to store.google.com.
No, store.spera.com.
There you go.
Well, it's going to be the Spera Poverty Fund next.
Yeah, in a minute. Right. Yeah. So, but I will tell you, I certainly think that there's going to be some new articles that are going to hit iTechGear in the coming weeks, along with a Surface Pro 8 article.
A year after.
Promise.
I'm going to do that right before I sell it. That's probably the one device that I like, but I wish I'd have never purchased. I really do. No. And it's only because of the keyboard. I hate that thing with the biggest passion. It's useless.
Well,
totally useless.
All I can say is we're all
interested
to read all about it.
Oh, I won't say that in the review because for most people, it's not review. It's not useless.
There you go.
I wouldn't do that, Chris.
So much for truth. For truth and journalism.
Fake news.
Fake news. Thank you. So So, gosh, but there'll be definitely some new articles that'll be hitting the hitting the site, along with a couple of unboxings, as well as a couple of roundups, and maybe even a shootout between Apple Watch Ultra and the Google Pixel Watch. We'll have to wait and see how things go. Or maybe between the Galaxy Watch 5 Pro, the Ultra, the Apple Watch Ultra, and the Pixel Watch. We'll have to see how it goes. But anyway, that, kids, is...
That's it.
That's
a wrap.
See you next week. Google event. And this edition, this special edition of the iTech Gear Weekly, recorded live Thursday, October 6th, 2022. I'm Christopher Sparra for Joel McLaughlin, Chris Cavula, and of course, Dr. Mr. Larry McJunkin. I want to say good night to everybody. Bye bye and bye bonds.
Blah, blue.